Welcome to the Winner's Walk podcast, where you will learn from today's top Christian leaders how to fulfill your divine destiny and to live the victorious life God has called you to live. By sharing their godly wisdom and stories of success, we hope our guests will inspire, educate, and motivate you to walk like the winner God made you to be. And now, here's the host for Winner's Walk, Neil Clark.
Hey, winners, I'm your host, Neil Clark, and I'm super excited for today's show. We are honored and blessed to have as one of our guests, one of today's top Christian leaders, Dr. Willie Jolly. Dr. Jolly has achieved remarkable heights in his speaking industry, having come from humble beginnings of being a fired singer who was replaced by a karaoke machine. He has gone on to be named one of the outstanding five speakers in the world by Toastmasters International and has been inducted into the prestigious Speakers Hall of Fame. Dr. Jolly uses his public platform to pursue his mission of empowering and encouraging people to rise above their circumstances and maximize their God-given potential. Many know him as a speaker Ford Motors called on in 2006 when they were on the brink of bankruptcy, and he aided them in turning their business around. In fact, in 2009, they were able to reject the government bailout and go on to billion-dollar profits. Billion. Dr. Jolly is the author of several international best-selling books, including It Only Takes a Minute to Change Your Life, A Setback is a Setup for a Comeback, and Turn Setbacks into Greenbacks, An Attitude of Excellence, and his latest bestseller with his wife, D. Taylor Jolly, Make Love, Make Money, and Make It Last. It is my great honor today, Dr. Willie Jolly.
Thank you so much, Neil. I appreciate you for having me on your show and letting me be a part of this exciting venture to help people to walk as they were born and they were designed and created to be. And so I'm grateful. And I start every interview, all my XM shows, messages and speeches with this one little piece called God's Minute. It simply says, I have only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it. It's forced upon me. I can't refuse it. I didn't seek it. I didn't choose it, but it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account. It's just a tiny little minute, but our eternities are wrapped up in it. So I'm grateful for this minute, this moment, this opportunity to share with you and your followers, listeners, viewers, tribe, as I like to say, people who are in our community of faith who want to grow and go to the next level. So I'm grateful and thank you for having me.
Awesome. And it's great. I'd love to start off by just getting a little bit about your background and where you grew up and kind of how it all started for you.
Sure. I'm from Washington, D.C., still live in Washington, D.C. I'm a second generation Washingtonian. My mother was born in Washington as well. I grew up in Northwest Washington, went to elementary, junior high, high school, and then went on to American University, where I got a degree in psychology and sociology. And I had this feeling that there was something, some sort of calling on my life. I couldn't quite put my finger on it. And so I went to pursue that at Wesley Theological Seminary, where I matriculated for a long time because I kept trying to figure out why I was there. And during that time, I realized that there were many ways to fulfill God's call in your life. And it's not just one way or one avenue or one road. They're leading to the same place, which is a commitment to our faith. But you might be a teacher, you might be a preacher, you might be an evangelist, you might be a psalmist, you might be a singer, you might be a lay leader, that there are different avenues to get to that fulfillment that God has for your life. So once I realized that I had not heard the call to pastor, I said, what do I do with this seminary degree? I had no idea. I just had a desire to inspire people. I also had a love of music and entertainment and performing. I had put myself through college and through graduate school by singing jingles for Pizza Hut and making it great. We work well together, news for him, you. So I sang jingles during the day, but I made the majority of my income singing in a little nightclub, singing on records and background, pit singing. I was a full-time singer or at least had a full-time income from singing. And then I was paying my way through school while I was singing. When I realized I was not going to become a pastor, I got my degree, and I went on to become a full-time performer and built one of the top night spots in Washington, D.C., and did that for 7 years, performing at different clubs, building them into big, very successful. And the last one was a brand new club, and it was very, very successful, and things started going well, and I won the award for best day. In fact, I'll show you that. This is one of the awards. I have a whole, all of some of the awards.
Wow.
And singing. And
that's great.
Anyway, I sang and won the award. That's what called a Whammy Award, Washington Area Music Association. And things were going great, and bought a house, got a nice sports car. One night I went in a nightclub, and the club owner said, "We want to talk to you after tonight's show." I told the guys in the band, "We've been selling out for 6 months. We got standing room only audiences. We've won all the awards. We're finally going to get our raise." And I walked in his office that night. He said, "You were great. The people loved you. We love you," which is hard for me to tell you, which is why it's hard for me to tell you what I've got to do. "We've decided to lower costs. We got to get a better return on investment. And the only way to do that with a full nightclub and one of the highest cost ensembles, you and your ensemble, the highest cost ensembles in the city, we've decided to try something else that filling up nightclubs is a lot cheaper. We bought a karaoke machine." And I was stunned. I was completely blindsided. I just was completely worn down, knocked out, flabbergasted. And I didn't know what to do. I was so depressed because I had worked so hard to build this nightclub act, to build this following. And I was also angry because I'd done everything right. I had built it. I had performed well. It wasn't about performance. It was about the numbers. And I learned that a lot of people who are living in America today or living wherever this might be seen or heard are going through the same. They were good performers. They did their job well. They gave their best. And there was not a performance issue. It just got a numbers issue, or technology changed something, or there was not the need for that job to be done anymore in that way. And it was very challenging. And I went home and I told my wife I got to do something else. I didn't know what I was going to do. While I was trying to figure out what I was going to do, I took a job with the Washington, D.C. public school system as a drug prevention coordinator, talking to little kids about staying away from drugs. And it was during that year that I got the opportunity to start giving speeches to these kids. And for the little kids, the teacher said, "Oh, that was good. You're funny, you're entertaining. We loved you. Can you come to our teachers association?" And then someone at the teachers association would say, hey, can you come to my church? We'd love to have you come to our church." And then someone after the church message would come up from the congregation and say, "Hey, I work for Verizon or Sprint or this government agency or that agency or this group or that group. We'd like to have you come speak for us." And it continued to grow. And then Les Brown, the great motivational speaker, was organizing a tour called the Music and Motivation Dream Team Tour. And he invited me to be the opening act, which and the tour featured Les Brown, Billy Preston, Gladys Knight, and this little guy from Washington, D.C. Because of Les and Gladys, they introduced me to some radio people. I got a little radio show. It got popular in Washington, D.C., then got syndicated. And then I was invited to join Sirius XM, where I am proud to say I have the number one self-help show in America now. And then a book publisher heard me on the radio and invited me to write a book. I wrote my first book, It Only Takes a Minute, Change Your Life, became a national bestseller. Then the book that put me on the map globally was A Setback as a Setup for a Comeback. Then Setbacks into Greenbacks, An Attitude of Excellence, Chicken Soup for the Christian Soul, and now our latest book, Make Love, Make Money, Make It Last. And then in 1999, I was named one of the top five speakers in the world by Toastmasters International, and named Motivational Inspirational Speaker of the Year. And that all happened because God had a different plan for me singing in nightclubs. And so I say to people, you're going to have setbacks, but God truly is the master setter upper. Mm-hmm. He sets us up for the greater good that we can do. We must have the faith to believe that he's working all things together for our good. You know, the Bible says in Romans 8:28, says, for we know, comma, that all things work together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Now, it's interesting that we see that for we know is the beginning of that scripture. For we know. Well, how do we know? Well, we know because of what he's done in the past, right? That he's been true, he's been honorable, he's been just, and he's been committed to our good. And so for we know, look, he took us from crawling around and learning to walk. For we know, he took us through school and through the challenges of school to get to ability to graduate or go into college or to get a job. For we know, that's what we know. So that's where the faith must come in, that we'll say, for we know, comma, that all things, not a few things, not a couple things, not a thing every now and then, all things work together for the good for them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. I felt I was called. I believe you are called, and people who accept him are called to his purpose. And then, and that confirms that when we're going through a challenge, a change, a difficulty, an adversity, don't fret, don't give up, don't jump off a ship, don't jump off a bridge. It's working together for our good. Hold on, keep moving on, because he's setting us up for something better. So that's my story. And now I speak to major corporations around the world. I write these books. We help, you know, most people know me for one of two things, for the self-help books or then the business development books. But now we've got this marriage book that is helping marriages, and our goal is to help save 1 million marriages, mm-hmm. and to enhance 1 million more. So we just so excited about the response from this book. It's only been out a few months, and it's just been amazing, incredible. I don't know the right word. People are calling from Kuwait, from Hawaii, saying, I saw a interview you did on television, or PBS, that was amazing. And we were on our way to the divorce court. Wow. And we just happened to come upon this interview. And we bought the book. We bought, you know, a copy for each of us. And we read it while we were both reading a chapter and writing in the margins and talking about it. And now we are doing good. We're happy again. And so that's what we wanted to do. So I encourage everybody to go to jollymarriage.com, get a free chapter.
Jollymarriage.com.
Jollymarriage, J-O-L-L-E-Y, marriage.com. Get the free chapter on how to disagree without being disagreeable. One of the most powerful and profound chapters in the book. My wife and I have been married for 33 years. And we haven't had an argument in over 30 years. People say, you never argued. I say, I didn't say that. I said, we haven't had an argument in 30 years. Those first couple of years were like World War III. Principles from some wise mentors who taught us how to follow their lead. They didn't argue. They had happy marriages. They were going through the life processes without a lot of drama. And said, if you do these things, they'll work for you as well. And we learned to do those things. They work for us. And now we put those things in a book, plus a chapter for people who are not yet married, so they'll know how to choose the right one. You know, mentors are so critical. I believe you had my friend Dave Martin on. And Dave and I talked about it one time. There are two ways to get to any goal, mentors and mistakes. Now, both will get you there. One just gets you there with less headaches, heartaches, and knots upside your head. So you should make a choice to be in a relationship with some mentors. And sometimes those mentors are people you actually sit with, you talk to face-to-face or via the phone. But sometimes mentors are people you will meet via a book or via an audio or via a video. I got mentors who are no longer in the land of the living, who died, Napoleon Hill or Dr. Benjamin Mays or Martin Luther King Jr. They're mentors, but it's not from me knowing them personally, but from me reading their works or listening to them. And of course, the greatest mentor I have in my life is Jesus Christ, who has been my mentor, my friend, my confidant, and all of that because I accepted him. So I'm grateful that I have mentors. You know, I had somebody on my XM show recently said, it's okay to be a copycat as long as you copy the right cat. And I'm copying Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm walking, trying to do what he does and say what he says and live the kind of life he lives.
Now, when did you get exposed to Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Was that something you did as a child?
Yeah, well, you know, I grew up in church. My grandfather actually was a missionary.
Okay.
But my dad was not a church-going guy. And my mom took my brother and I to Asbury United Methodist Church in Washington, D.C., where we were active affairs all of our lives, from little kids to Boy Scouts to acolytes to council, the youth choir. We were active in church. Not to say, though, that we were committed. We needed to go. And then when I was about 14, my dad died, and my mom raised my brother and I and put a lot of energy into making sure we were around positive people, particularly those who had a faith-based mindset. So I don't remember. I always prayed and believed. Where I would say I actually made the commitment was at a revival one night in college, where I actually said, okay, I do, okay? I'm in, okay? And the guy preached and he caught my attention. So that's where I remember making a conscious declaration. Okay? Other than that, I would just go to church and I'd pray with the rest of the folks. So, and then I just kept pursuing it with church and with school, whether it's seminary or going back to, you know, I went back in 2012, get my doctorate of ministry from the California Graduate School of Theology out of California. And again, how God worked things out. I was speaking in California for the $1 million roundtable. The folks at the Crystal Cathedral heard I was there and invited me to be the speaker that day. And the president of the California Graduate School of Theology was the presider that day over the service, because Bobby Shula had to go away, and that's why they needed me to speak for them. And afterwards, he said, look, your message was just fantastic. And I encourage people, they can go get that message, see it. It's at jollygoodnews.org. Jolly, J-O-L-L-E-Y, goodnews.org. That's our faith-based site. And we've got a lot of good stuff there. One of the things that I'm most proud of on that site is an interview I did on my XM show to help people go through the cancer struggle. So that they can see the cancer is not the end of the story or not a death sentence. That there are stories and hope. I have an interview with two people who had stage 4 cancer, who both beat it, and tell how they did it through their faith and through their positive affirmations. Anyway,
right.
jollygoodnews.org, you can see that Crystal Cathedral. Well, the guy says, I want you to speak at our graduation. And he said, I've looked online. I realize you are not a cheap speaker, so we'll just want to offer you an honorarium. And an honorary doctorate. And I said, you know what? Let me make you a counteroffer. I've been wanting to go back and get my doctorate for 30 years. But I got married, I had children, I got a speaking. How about this? How about you don't pay me anything and let me work for my doctorate? And he wondered why I wanted to do that. And there's a lesson in that. And the answer is, why would I want to do that? Because I learned years ago, it's not just the goal that you achieve when you hit a goal. It is what you become in the process of hitting the goal that's most important. Because as you become more, you'll be able and willing and capable of doing more. So I matriculated again through school again and got my doctorate of ministry a year later. I actually shut down my speaking business for a year so I could focus on writing papers and writing a dissertation and going to classes and going to seminars. And so it was a powerful piece. And so the new book that will be coming out is my Theology of Achievement. And it will be coming out in probably early part of next year or 2019. I would encourage people to stay connected to me on the email. It's a powerful message on achievement.
Right.
From a biblical, faith-based mindset.
Awesome. That'll be great. Well, I tell you, the kind of the two major decisions is accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And then what we talked about with, who you choose as a spouse, I think is probably being equally yoked. And I think that's great in your goal to save 1 million marriages is really needed at this point in time, just to give people that information.
Yeah. We tell people in the book over and over and over again that the most important decision you will ever make next to your faith is who you marry. Because that person will be responsible for 90% of your misery or 90% of your joy.
Right.
So you should choose well. And then at the end of the book, I say, now I've told you this over and over again, that the most important next to your faith is who you marry. Now let's deal with that first decision, that most important decision. And so I send them to jollygoodnews.org, where there actually is a video of me sharing my perspective of faith and how it changed my life, and then leading people through the process, if they don't know the Lord, to understand how they can accept Him and live a different life for the rest of their lives.
Right. Now, obviously making that decision will change your life and change the direction of where you're headed. And God obviously has a calling for each and every one of us to reach. And like you said, it may take, setbacks or different paths in the process, but He will always lead you there and give you the resources to make that happen. What godly principle do you think you've used the most in your speaking career, ministry career, that's helped propel you to success?
Well, I think that the principle that has helped me the most, and I've used so many, but the one that has helped me the most is a principle of diligence, okay, and excellence. I think that we are called as people of faith to be diligent. We are called to be excellent. Beloved, you do not think it's strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent you partake in Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you will also be glad with exceeding joy, that your joy will come from that. And then you were born to be achievers. You were born to do something. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. But the key is that you must pursue it with excellence and a diligence that that attitude and your action will have a great impact on your results. So throughout my life, I realized that we were excellent. It says in Philippians 4, finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. So I always encourage people from my book, Attitude of Excellence, actually the new version will be out this fall, is to encourage people to be excellent, pursue excellence, be diligent. I have a theological perspective that we must act on the gifts God has given us. God's gift to us is life. Our gift to God is what we do with our lives. We should do something extraordinary and magnificent with our lives so that when our time comes to die, that people will know we came this way and that we will leave the world better than we left it. I love this quote. I recently had the opportunity to speak at a church, and I shared this quote, and people said it profoundly impacted me. When a baby is born, the baby cries, and the people who are waiting and loved ones around them, they celebrate. and they are ecstatic. Yet, when a person dies, hopefully they have lived a good life. They've made a good impact. And so when a person lives, we should strive that when our time comes to die, the people around us will cry. And we will celebrate because we left the world better than what we brought came into. I think that's the kind of life I want to live. That's the theology I want to live. That God's gift to me is life. My gift to God is what I do with my life. And I want to do something extraordinary so that he will not be shamed and angry that he made me, took the time to make me. And I think that's a commitment each person can make. So we can do something. How do we do that? Well, in the Attitude of Excellence book, I talk about the power of service. And that we must be willing to serve. Martin Luther King, in his last speech or sermon at Ebenezer Baptist Church, had a message called the Drum Major Instinct. And in that speech is a one little piece that talks about service. He said, if you want to be great, understand there's a new definition of greatness. And that definition of greatness is determined by your service. You don't have to go to college to be able to serve. You don't have to know about Aristotle and Plato to know how to serve. You don't need to know how to make your vowel and your word verb combine or work together to be able to serve. You don't need to know about the second theory of nuclear dynamics to serve. All you need is a heart full of love and a soul generated by grace, and you will go out and serve somebody else. And if you serve somebody else with a spirit of excellence, you can be great. I love that. And I believe that's what we ought to be called to do. So that's what I think those are the principles that I live my life by. Service, taking action on the gifts God has given me, trying to be diligent, trying to leave the world better than I found it, and praying that when I come to die, that people will cry because they say, hey, he did something good while he was here. And I'll celebrate because I'm sitting with the master.
Well, let me ask you, you mentioned a couple of mentors. What did they do to help you most, I guess?
Encouraged me. And pushed me to pursue excellence.
Okay.
I'm very grateful that God is with some skills, some abilities. But understand that gifts are God-given. Ability and excellence is something you must take action on and work on.
Right.
And many people have great gifts that they never pursue to improve on, to make better. And so my mentors always told me, don't be lazy. Develop a great work ethic. Work harder than you're paid to work. Go the extra mile. That's the only place where there's no traffic jam. Give more than you're paid to give. Go do more than you're paid to do. Go further than you're paid to go. And have high expectations that your impact will have an income producing program for my life. So I'm always trying to create great impact because I know it has an impact on my income as well as an impact on my outgo. So I tell my office staff, we got two goals. Our first goal is to make an impact. Our second goal is to make a profit. Both of them are important. I need to make an impact so that I can continue to do what I do that makes a difference. But I also need to make a profit so that we can keep these lights on, this computer on. Without a profit, I'm out of business. And so we got to have a mindset to do both, impact, income. And so I hope that people will pursue excellence in their goals and dreams, that they will set high standards, that they will push for excellence. They will make a reputation of excellence that makes them stand out from the crowd, and that they will make God proud.
Amen.
That he made them. He said, wow. You know, Martin Luther King, I go back to Martin Luther King, he said, whatever you do, do with excellence. If a man is called to sweep streets, he should sweep streets as Beethoven composed music, as Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven will say, there's lived a great street sweeper who did his job well. And so I'm grateful that I have the ability to be professional speaker, inspirational, motivational speaker, a radio show host, a author, a singer, and that I hope that I can do it with a spirit of excellence, give my best, and have the host of heaven say, he did his job well.
Well, I think you do it great, that's for sure. And we appreciate the gift you are to the body of Christ. Let me ask you this. What resources would you recommend for our listeners? Where can they connect with you as well?
Absolutely. One thing I want to encourage everybody to do is go get some of the free gifts that we offer on our website. Now, many people know for the last few years, I had the honor of replacing one of my mentors, Zig Ziglar, on the National Get Motivated Tour. For 20 years, it was Zig Ziglar and General Colin Powell. And when Zig passed away, they did a national search. And they said, when they called me, you know, we were looking for a replacement for Zig. And your name kept coming up as a great motivator, but also as a man of faith like Zig. And so when I started doing the tour in 2014, I made a point that I wanted to give people something that was more than just a speech, something they could get, stay connected with me, and I could stay connected with them and also bless them. So we give away gifts, some ebooks, some of my audios from my SiriusXM, some of my music, some encouragement. So to go to willyjolly.com/gift. Willie Jolly, WILLIE, Jolly, JOLLEY.com/gift. So get some of the free gifts. Go to the jollygoodnews.org site for my faith base, for the program about helping people to beat cancer, for the Crystal Cathedral messages, some of my faith-based messages. We'll put this up here too when you send it to me. We'll put that on there.
Awesome.
And then finally, go to jollymarriage.com and get a chapter from the book. And if you order the book, get two copies. We highly recommend. That's why it's not on Amazon. But we want to give people a break on getting two copies. You get two copies for not much more than one copy. And we recommend you read it together at the end of each chapter. Discuss it. Whatever it is that you learned or you thought about or came to your mind, discuss it as a couple. And I think you will be impressed and inspired how your life and your marriage can improve, not from our input, but from the people we interviewed who've been married 40, 50, and 60 years, who gave us such good insights. So we encourage you to do that. And finally, follow me on Twitter, at Willie Jolly. Instagram, The Real Willie Jolly, LinkedIn, you know, whatever it is, Snapchat, you got it, I got it. Facebook, Willie_Jolly or Willie-Jolly. But just follow me and stay connected to me, because we want to create a community of winners who walk by faith, not by sight, and who win in their daily pursuit. I spoke at a church last Sunday about how to live a victorious life. And so we want people to have victory in their daily pursuits. There will be challenges. There will be situations. But no weapon formed against you shall prosper when you understand your rights. Now, that doesn't mean that weapons won't be formed against you. They just won't prosper when you understand your rights and how to live the victorious life. So stay connected to me. I hope y'all are live the best life. And if I come to your city with a tour, or whether it's with my one-man show, which we'll be rolling out this year, which is a Broadway-style one-man music and motivation show telling my story of nightclub singing to speaking and the lessons I learned, come and join us on that. But if you're on my newsletter, you'll not only get weekly updates about my guest on my XM show, who over the last few months have been incredible. I've had John Maxwell, T.D. Jakes, Marvin Winans, James Brown from CBS Sports, Robin Sharma, the great guru from Canada. I've had Gloria Mayfield Banks, the number one salesperson in the world for Mary Kay Ash. I've had so many great faith leaders as well as success coaches. So you can get me on Sirius. You can get me on my podcast as well, the Willie Jolly Wealthy Ways podcast. And you can get some of those interviews absolutely free.
Well, hey,
I just kind of give you a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you did. That's awesome.
I'll give you one more page. WillieJolly.com/billionaire. WillieJolly.com/billionaire. That's when I spoke for the Billionaire Mastermind Forum. And we gave a great offer. They can get my bag of books or my box. I have a Willie Jolly box. It's a beautiful box. And they can get that. And they get it at a discount on that site. On that page only. If you go to the main, you have to pay the full price. But you go to that page, it gets a discount. So WillieJolly.com/billionaire. And awesome. Be blessed.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. You definitely made an impact, that's for sure. And we do appreciate it. Would highly recommend everyone to go to these sites and connect with Willie and let him inspire you as well. So anyway, thank you, sir. I appreciate your time today. And thanks for being on the show.
My pleasure. Privilege and a pleasure. Joy beyond measure. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to connect with us at www.winnerswalk.com for more information on our next podcast and to download your free checklist, the 10 success principles of today's Christian leaders that you can copy. God bless and walk like the winner God made you.